Available in all states.
Praise the Lord. It's time for the Saints Perspective with your host, Pastor Brian Edwards. Be blessed as you receive practical principles from the Word of God that will minister to your daily walk of life. Please stay tuned as we listen to the Saints Perspective.
Pentecost Sunday, and so he was speaking on the Holy Ghost, but he has also been talking about worship. And so on today, you might hear some things that he has already said. And so we praise God for being the Holy Ghost dwelling in you that will give you what to say. But recently, I had come home from work, and I was walking through my doors around 6:30, and it was on a night where I had to be at another church service at 7 o'clock. And I needed to leave out of my house at 6:45, and I had just walked through the doors about 6:30, and so I quickly ate some food, and on my way upstairs to freshen up, tired in my body, you know what flesh says, because sometimes it'll talk to you, and it'll say, you're tired, you know what you, but my flesh began to talk to me, and I said, no, I am going to go and support ABC person. And immediately, I received a rebuke from the Lord concerning going to his house with a man or a woman as my primary purpose. I said, immediately I received a rebuke from the Lord with going to the house of the Lord with man or woman being my primary focus. Now, I know, of course, because the Bible is right, and it is said that we will honor leadership and we will honor our brothers and sisters. That is biblical, of course. But in the natural, go with me to the natural, it's rude to enter into my house, walk past me, me and my husband who pay the bills, and head straight for, say, Sydney, Sherman, Kristen, or whoever, and go and give them some love and some honor and respect. It's rude to walk past the host and go straight to the person and want to honor them. It's rude to honor the creature without first acknowledging the Creator. I looked at Psalm 104 through 5. Most of us are familiar with this scripture, and I have just quoted it. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Now, thanksgiving is an attitude of the heart. Thanksgiving is an attitude of the heart. And his word says, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation. His, the Lord, his. It's all about him. It's all about him. Anyone and anything else is secondary. It is all about him. After the chastening of the Lord, I remembered an article that I had read some weeks prior, and it was titled, and Pastor even preached on this, it was titled, Seven Spirits That Hang Around Churches. And the article was based on the second chapter of Revelation, and it talks about the seven churches that are described in the book of Revelation. And it describes some strongholds that can come against churches. Let's read it. Let's go to Revelation, the second chapter, verse 1 through 5. Revelation 2, verse 1 through 5. I'm reading it from the NIV version. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. And if you were here on Tuesday night, you know that Pastor talked about the angel of the house referring to the culture of the church. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. These are the words of Jesus. Verse 2, Jesus commends them. He says, I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Verse 4 says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Verse 5, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent. Repent means a change of your heart or a change of your ways. And do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Let's go to this church in Ephesus that is in the book of Revelation. Because this church was commended, meaning he said they were doing a good job, for not giving up, for persevering, for not growing weary, for enduring hardships and persecution. They were holding fast to all that they had been taught. They were recognized false teachers, but they had left their first love. They were doctrinally sound and had everything else in order, but they had lost their passion for God. They had lost their passion for God. They were still working. They were still having services. But they had lost their passion for God. But when we go back to Acts 19, and you don't have to go there, when the church of Ephesus was first birthed out, in Acts chapter 19, when you look at the birth of the church of Ephesus, you will see at the birth of this church, they were baptizing with water, laying hands on people for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They were magnifying God in tongues. They were casting out demons. They were healing with prayer cloths. They were moving out of the traditional to the vibrancy of being led by the Holy Ghost. That was how they started. But when Jesus spoke about this church in Ephesus, he commends them, you're hardworking. Yet the fire, the passion, the love had gone out. Religion had taken over. With its dull sense of duty and traditionalism, I'm here because it's what I do on Sunday, is where I usually go on Sunday. They had not had relationship, but they were walking in religion, going through the motions of church, but had left the love of God that should have been in their hearts. They needed the passion of the Holy Ghost. They were grinding out religious activities, traditions and services, but they had left their real purpose for the service. I wanted to bring it home today and make it relevant. They were having conferences and meetings and meetings and greeting, but they had lost their passion for him. And guess what their passion was? It was themselves. Their passion for God had left, and they were happy taking care of themselves and doing their own will and what they wanted to do, but they had left and forsaken their passion for God. Maybe they were clock watchers. When I worship, I just go, and whatever time I'm finished, I'm finished. Because when I shop, I do the same thing. Most time I don't walk in the store and say, I got to be out in 15 minutes. I go there because I want something from the store, and I'm going to keep looking until I find what I want. So I don't enter into God's house watching my clock and saying, is it 1 o'clock yet? No, I don't shop that way, and so I'm not going to treat God that way. Maybe they were clock watchers, and during the service, they were tired. You say, stand up, and, oh, my knees hurt. You know, sometimes my knees do, too. But then after service, they could stay and talk for an hour with their friends about their life and what's going on at their job and what's happening with the children and where they went. They were clock watchers when it came to God's time, but when it came to their own time, they put so much into it because they were feeding themselves. Maybe they were just, when the time came, they were not faithful. Thank you, Holy Ghost. When the time comes for circumstances to come up, say I lost my job, they were faithful. When my children acting crazy, then we're faithful. When I don't have, then I'm faithful. But as soon as somebody call me and I get an interview, and where is sister, brother? As soon as the kids start acting a little bit decent, you know, if you have some children, you know how to pray. You better if you have some children. Maybe they were only faithful when things were going good for them. Lost their job, children not acting right, marriage falling apart. Help me, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Glory. Get a job, find a new husband. Where, excuse me, Sister Johnson, where are you? Tuesday night, Friday night, don't see you. Sunday school, where'd you go? They had lost their first love. Maybe they were singing in the choir and they had all the latest songs from Hezekiah Walker and whoever are the greatest artists, but when you're singing, you are ministering. They're not just words of a song, but you're ministering words, something in your spirit. Hallelujah. When you sing about the blood, something should connect with your spirit. They're not just words that I say. Oh, the blood. The blood of Jesus. Something in me should connect. But you got to have the Holy Ghost. They were operating out of religion and not relationship. They had forsaken their first love. And I thought about who remembers their first car. Hallelujah. I remember my, I'm going to skip one of the other ones because the first one I had was a Pinto and it had a hole in the floor. But when I got a job, I had a red Nissan Pulsar. My first car. Hallelujah. I said, when I graduate, I'm going to buy me a red sports car. I had the T-tops off and my first car. Who remembers their first love? I can tell you what I wore on my first date. Tell you what I wore when I went out with Pastor Brian Edwards. Tell you where we went. I was cute on that day. He was looking good, too. Now you know he knows how to look good. But you remember why? Because it's your first. After you get to about the third, fourth date, then you really don't even remember what you had on. But that first date, I had on a cute white jacket, double-breasted. Hallelujah. You remember because it means something to you. Unlike the church at Ephesus, your worship should be based upon love and relationship and not religion. The word worship comes from worth and ship. Together, the words mean the total of someone's value. We as humans cannot know the real value of God. Therefore, we need the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in us in order to worship. For he, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost alone knows his value. The reason for worship is to minister to the Lord. Worship in the Greek is proskuneo. Thank you. Proskuneo, which means to, y'all weren't at Tuesday night service, that means to kiss. It means to thank you. It means to bow and to kiss. If we provide an atmosphere during worship for the Spirit to move. And the administration of the gifts of the Spirit to operate. Worship also enhances unity in believers. And that's why I get up and exhort you to worship. Not because I want you to clap your hands so that I'm going through exercises, but worship will bring in the presence of God. So what has this to do with you coming home on a day where you were tired? I believe it was the conviction of the Holy Spirit that allowed me to see that the primary purpose for us going to the house of the Lord is about instruction and growth, fellowship, learning, teaching. It is never about an individual. It is never about an individual. It is always about God. It is never about an individual, not the individual standing here, nor is it about you as an individual. It is always about God, the maker of heaven and earth. And so even when I enter into the house of the Lord in my tiredness, it's the same thing in my natural house. I come home, I cook dinner, I help with homework after a long, hard day's work, not because any other reason, but I love my family, and I want to see them successful. I'm committed to their well-being, and so I help. So when I enter into God's house with any other purpose but than to worship God, I've lost my focus. When I enter into his house, I have to enter in with the mindset of, I'm here for worship. Not this is what I do on Sunday. If I do that, I'm operating like the spirit of what worked in the church at Ephesus. I'm operating in religion and not relationship. And then you have to pump and prime and tell people, clap your hands, worship, praise the Lord. Because it's hard to enter into intimacy of worship on Sunday with someone I haven't been intimate with all week. So that's why you have to pump and prime. Come on, come on, come on, clap your hands. Because all week, if you've been in intimate worship with God, the Spirit of the Lord will usher you right into worship. True worship springs from the heart and is led by the Spirit. So when I enter into God's house, it's all about him. It's all about him. So what should I bring when I enter into worship, and what should I leave at home? I'm going to let you know. What should I bring and what should I leave at home? Six things that we should not bring to worship. Number one, an unforgiving spirit. Uh-oh. An unforgiving spirit. Matthew 5:23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. And when I read that, it was so interesting because I said, wait, so you're coming, you're bringing your gift to the altar, and the Bible didn't say you had a problem with your brother. It said he had a problem with you. So you mean, Lord, I've come here to sacrifice and worship, and someone has a problem with me, and he said, leave your gift and go be reconciled to your brother. That means there's something that you have to do. We cannot have a heart of forgiveness and enter in to worship. We must remember to forgive men their trespasses so that God will forgive us. What do I leave at home? I leave at home boundaries. I leave at home boundaries. The Samaritan woman at the well said to Jesus in John 4:20, John 4:20, our fathers worshiped in the mountain. And ye, she's talking about the Jews, say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh. Hallelujah. Excuse me, I have a little moment. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship. For the Father seeketh such to worship. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus instructs the Samaritan woman that worship need not be confined to a specific place, but God is looking for true worshipers, whether you own your job at the house in Kroger, walking through Walmart, hallelujah, there is a praise that will spring up when you think about the goodness of God. We build for him a tabernacle when we worship and we praise. What else do I leave at home? Uh-oh, I'm getting ready to step on some toes. Spiritual laziness. Leave it at home. Leave it at home. Spiritual laziness. Leave it at home. This is the believer that does not bring any effort to worship. He or she expects to be entertained, a spectator, and not a participant. He doesn't make any effort, he or she, to participate, but expects to be spoon-fed. Spoon-fed means that you're a baby. Expects to be spoon-fed by others. Worship is not generated by lounging in an atmosphere of spiritual apathy. I'm here and yeah, okay. It takes an effort. Psalm 119 and 15. I will meditate in thy precepts. That means I did something. It said, I will. So that means he had to do something. Meditate. So that means I brought my mind and I'm thinking about his precepts. And have respect unto thy ways. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. That means I have to do something which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. Leave spiritual laziness at home. Number four, a critical spirit. Leave it at home. That worship leader, the song leader, the choir, it was supposed to be C flat, A minus, or whatever note they sang the wrong note. I sat down and the usher didn't give me a program. A fault-finding attitude in the heart of the believer is fatal to worship. For it occupies the mind of the believer with his fellow believer instead of God. So if you're thinking about that she hit a wrong note, then you're thinking about her. And God wants you to enter in with the his, him, the Lord. And so we're not looking at our brother and sister, because believe me, ask me how I know. You can get off. You'll get off. Because you'll be looking out in the audience and people will be half asleep. They won't want to listen to you. Some got their arms folded. Some, when you speak, and they find time to read their Bible. You can get off when you look at folk. Sometimes you just got to look over. Pastor say he looks at the cross. I'm getting to see that cross really, really good. Don't look at faces because they'll throw you. Leave at home, number five, pride. Leave it at home. A part of worship is the wonder and the majesty of God. The smallness of me and self in comparison to God. You'll have a hard time being aware of God as long as you're filled with pride. And if pride got angels cast out of heaven, then surely it should have no place in your heart. Number six, the last one. What do I leave at home? Troubles. In Acts 16, 23 through 26, Paul and Silas, they were in jail, but they knew how to lift their hearts above their troubles. They entered into God's presence and his power with prayer and praise and worship. Their hearts were lifted into the joyous presence of the Lord. You're going to have some trouble. Is there anybody in here that doesn't have any, haven't had any? People say, well, I have circumstances. I have circumstances too. But I'm going to leave it at home. And when I enter into the his, him, and the Lord, it's about him. Their hearts were raised into the joyous presence of the Lord. Their attitude, despite their pain. Now, remember, they had been beaten. They had been beaten and bruised. Despite the pain in their body and the place that they were in prison, they invoked the presence of the Lord. Psalms 22 and 3 tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. In other words, he lives in, he dwells in, he takes up residence in. When the atmosphere of praise and worship goes forth, God is built a throne. Well, I've told you the six things that stay at home with, well, I'm sorry, don't stay at home, but leave at home. You come with your problems, your circumstances, and all the above. What should I bring then to worship? Number one, bring a repentant heart.
God bless you. We hope you have enjoyed the Saints Perspective broadcast. If this ministry has blessed you in any way, or if there's an area in your life you would like Pastor Edwards to address, feel free to write us at New Testament Church. The address is 15003 Joy Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48228, or call us at 313-582-1610. Again, that number is 313-582-1610. To learn more about our ministry, you may visit our website at www.newtestamentchurchdetroit.org. So until next week, we say unto you, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord.
Sponsored by New Testament Church.
The Hometown Advantage. You can see it in that new shop down on Main Street, in the office downtown, the factory by the river, and the farm down the road. It's because of people like Reggie in finance and Ruth, the paramedic. Keisha, the designer, has it, and so does Orlando, the nurse. They live around here. They care about this community. They work hard to succeed, and that makes a difference. At MotorCityHelpWanted.com, we're proud to work the Hometown Advantage. We work it around the clock, connecting local employers and local job seekers with local jobs they're good at, jobs they deserve. Post your job today and search a database of resumes to find, select, and hire the best local employees. Employees who live close by, close to family and friends, close to home. That's the Hometown Advantage. MotorCityHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
FM 92.7, AM 1500, the mobile app, or on the web. We're all the same great Faith Talk Detroit.
Licensed in all states. Product availability varies. Agents may be compensated on enrollment.
Michael Stahl is my guest. He's the vice president of Health Markets. Health Markets is trying to make this crazy Medicare system easier to understand. Would you explain how it works?
So Health Markets offers a free service with access to thousands of Medicare plans nationwide to help folks maximize their benefits and save.